All right, you guys ready?
Yep, let's go.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of Great Things with Great Tech, the podcast highlighting companies doing great things with great technology. My name's Anthony Spiteri, and in this episode, we're talking to a Web3 startup that has attracted investments of over $1.1 million via a heavily oversubscribed early funding round, a company that is about to launch its first product, Box. Yes, a box. Box is a plug-and-play blockchain device that promises to free users from a range of online subscription services, including photo storage, file sync, secure passwords, backups, and more. Box offers virtually limitless storage opportunities thanks to its blockchain-attached storage solution. Oof, that company is Functionland. I'm talking to two people today. This is different for Great Things with Great Tech, by the way. I'm just going to put it out there. So this is going to be a challenge. This is like new for me, but we're going to get it done. Two people. I'm talking to the co-founders of Functionland, Ishan Sarathy and Kayvan Sandange. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, and I realize I butchered your last name, Kayvan, as well, but you know, that's just the way to go, right? That's okay. We'll get past that. But for everyone else, just give your surname so we can start off on the right spot.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Kayvan Sandange.
I wasn't too far off. Then it wasn't too bad. Yeah, there we go. Good stuff. This is an experiment, so this is working beautifully to start with. But that's what podcasts are all about. And just before we get into Functionland, talk about blockchain attached storage and the beautiful thing that you guys have got in your background there, which is a masterpiece of design and technology. If you love Great Things with Great Tech and would like to feature on future episodes, you can click on the link on the show notes, or go to the brand new website at gtwgt.com and register your interest. Just as a reminder, all episodes are on the webpage, that it's on YouTube and on all good podcasting platforms, Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you want to be, all distributed and hosted by anchor.fm. Right, with that, guys, I want you guys to explain Functionland to start with, and then maybe about how the company started, how you two got together to come up with this blockchain attached storage.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, like Functionland is a Web3 startup now working on creating a new category of products called blockchain attached storage. And me and Kayvan actually, we worked together in another project before this one. It was an AI project. Me, Kayvan, and Kate, the other co-founder, V3, got together on that project. And then pivoted like the efforts to Web3 and creating this new technology. And the way it really started was like me and Kayvan being both developers, open source developers actually, for the past 10-15 years.
Okay, yep.
We knew the pain points. Like we know that like the pain points like that like these developers, these open source developers, they are creating very great stuff, like very, very useful technologies. And aren't getting paid, like there is no way to monetize these great creations without turning to the old methods like subscriptions, like charging users or putting ads into the applications.
Yeah,
so that was where this got to our head, that how we can monetize open source without those traditional methods.
So what you're talking about there is pretty much the way that the web has been since Web 2.0, right? Like those early days in the sort of early 2000s where it all kicked off. That's kind of, and also where open source kind of came to its fore as well, right? So, and traditionally, if people think about open source, they think about free as well. And I guess from that point of view, free goes both ways, traditionally anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, free, there is this huge argument, right? That between the traditional open source line of thinking that is free as in free speech, and then free as in beer, right? But what we've identified is that it can be both if we can pivot to a sustainable 21st century monetization mechanism, because these subscriptions and ad models, these are from the 18th century. That's the advent of newspapers.
Yeah, so this is all leading towards a great time in history where blockchain technology is pretty much, you know, part and parcel of this future that I think, you know, we're talking about. So was this just the perfect coming together of of technologies with regards to, you know, we'll talk a little bit about, we'll talk a lot about how, you know, this whole project, the company is founded on the basis of blockchain technology for the masses, trying to end the rental web, so to speak, right? But what was that kind of always the case that it was going to be blockchain based because of the problem that you're trying to solve? Or did blockchain solve that problem that you were looking for?
So what happened was that we identified a very interesting thing with the with blockchain, and that is with tokenization, you can capture value, right? And this value can come from things that you haven't thought about, right? So who knew that you could put like millions of dollars of value on a JPEG file, right? That's NFT, essentially.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. So with the concept of tokens, there were like legitimate use cases out there that could put value on things that were previously and been neglected by the wider mainstream audience, right? So you have like museums with pictures for the elite, right? But you don't see like the independent artists selling their work before the advent of NFTs and this in the scale that is currently going on. So we identified that concept of tokenization and mining, right? So tokenization and mining as a essentially something that can, if we can create a platform for users that is printing money for them, meaningful money, then we can get rid of rental web, which is us paying to service providers. Instead of that, we can pay that out through those mining component of the blockchain.
Right. So go ahead.
Yeah. One other important tool that blockchain gave us was those smart contracts. Like before that, we were relying on Google, Google's good faith actually, to give us guarantees that, okay, your files are safe and backed up by me.
Yeah.
Now with the concept of a smart contract, we don't need that middleman to give us that guarantee because we have a smart contract that automatically guarantees the terms actually.
There's an element of immutability that lends itself to the blockchain, which makes this concept, you know, work basically, not just here, but in blockchain technologies and projects, or the legit projects. Because I guess before we get into what this is, I think people are already hearing this and going, another crypto thing, another blockchain thing. Is this bit of a scam thing? Like, is that box real? You know, we'll talk about the box later. But I think one of the biggest challenges that you've probably had to face is the legitimization of blockchain technologies for legitimate business and enterprise and even consumer use, right? So how did you guys in the early days, because you guys are what, a couple of years old really in terms of this, you know, 2020 kind of started things up and it's been quick since then. How did you guys come to terms with having to convince, you know, your investors and your potential first customers that are still coming on board that this is a legit thing?
So basically first thing is we are introducing ourselves as a utility chain, so not a financial chain. We are not like really focusing on the financial aspect of the token, but more on the utility token. And for that, like, we are relying on the technologies that are created by actually guys much much more experienced than us, which are the Protocol Labs engineers.
Yeah.
And we are just using those technologies which are tested, which are being used right now in a lot of like blockchain technologies, be it financial or utility. So we are building on top of those big technologies that exist out there, which is like P2P basically.
So Protocol Labs. So for my talks previously on my decentralized storage episode, IPFS, Filecoin, that sort of stuff, that's Protocol Labs, right? So there's a storage element to this, which we'll get into later. But what you're saying is you're building on the shoulders of giants effectively here already, like they've got this established technology. You're putting a very tangible use to that. I think that's pretty much how I would explain this. Let's get into it though. So maybe just explain the box, right? So because this is when you talk about a blockchain project or a crypto project or a company that's in this space, it's typically software. But you guys have got this physical box, storage, compute, interconnecting devices. Just tell us what that is. It's an impressive looking device. Give us the history and where does it fit in this whole Functionland project?
Sure. I think your audience are very well versed in this, Anthony, because it's essentially an evolution of NAS, right? So what we have with Box is we have a server that's not simply a storage, it's storage and compute in this new form factor. And it's essentially works as functions as a NAS with this concept of a network outside your local network attached to it, right? So what happens is with Box, you get your personal server where you store all your files and your data. But the way you interact with Box is not through a file browser or like FTP or HTTP or any of those things. We went the extra mile and we've created protocols that replace the old client-server connection where you had previously you had server and you had client, and between them you were talking HTTP.
Yeah.
Here we have client, and client is your phone, right? And we have server, and the connection between them are libptp. And we are offering the same dev tools to developers who want to build on Web3. So interfaces for uploading files, for persisting JSON data, so like GraphQL APIs, right? And next year, machine learning, like things like Lambda functions, like what people get from Google, AWS, right?
Yeah, right.
So with giving those dev tools to developers, they can build apps that work with a device that you have located at your home, and you get the functionality of cloud, like backup that's not your local, that backup that's not another hard disk in your drawer, from your neighbors, your fellow Box owners.
Yeah. So effectively I think the best analogy that I can use is that from a storage perspective, knowing about how decentralized storage works, you put in, you get the modules, you buy the unit, you can put in your own disk, right? I think it's got slots to put in your own disk so you can fill it with your commodity disk that you got at home. You can then obviously, it then picks that up, leverages the storage. It's then talking to a protocol lab system, Firebase, whatever it is, to basically shard those files, spread them out. That's the decentralized aspect of it. That's what makes it distributed, secure, and also, you know, resilient to a certain extent as well. But effectively, you've always got access to your files, you know, with that interface that you've created, that P2P interface. So the application that they've created, and you guys have done a proof of concept one that's basically a Google Photo dApp as well, which you guys created to show the power of the device as well. That's it, right? That's kind of what, is that it in a nutshell? But then there's also compute elements to this as well. We haven't even really gotten to the fuller protocol and the token mining, which we touched on earlier. But from a storage perspective and from that analogy, is that it?
That's it. And one other thing is we are now like those, like basically we call them local pools that you join and you get, like you share resources, you share storage with this local pool. And the idea here is that the local pools are close to you. So it's, yeah, it's your neighborhood, it's in your city, like
right,
where you join like forces to share resources, and that increases the speed, right? So you don't need to go back to another country to fetch a piece of data. It's all in your city.
Does that mean that it's kind of, it ends up being kind of like a mesh network as such locally as well? So what's that other one that works? What's the network mob that does the network devices on the blockchain? Oh, the name escapes me.
Helium?
Yeah, Helium. Is it got a Helium element to it in terms of the local sourcing or?
Kind of, because Helium, like they have the same concept, but for a different utility, right? So they are for like internet sharing.
Yes.
For
yes.
us, it's like the a storage and compute.
And compute, okay. So but it's still the same sort of thing. Okay, cool. So, okay. So to that end then, is it going to be, say for me, I live in a very isolated city in the world. I live in Perth, right? Perth is the most isolated city in the world. And so if I was to get a Box unit, which I'm hopefully going to get, you know, I'm here sitting by myself and I'm not going to be able to am I still going to be able to use it, even though I might be the only one in Perth using it, right? It just certain things might be a bit slower. Is that pretty much it?
You have two options, actually. So if you're alone in your country, in your city, you have two options. One is to join like a pool in somewhere else, right? Like which is like, yes, slower. But the other option you have is to purchase two boxes, put one at your home, put one at your office. They both create that network where each, if you lose one of them, the other acts as the as a backup, you know. So that's another option that you have.
Yeah, okay. So with that, so because you're saying you're getting rid of that HTTP, that web connection, you're going straight P2P, is there any elements of Web 2 here, or is it or is it straight Web 3 end to end? Like, because usually when we talk about these sorts of things, and you know, there is always to a certain extent a Web 2 element, a traditional element mixed with the back end blockchain Web 3 element. So how does that work with Functionland?
Yeah, there's a, well, what we are aiming for is a bridge from Web 2 to Web 3. So what we have is SDKs that are Web 2-like, right? So when it, as a developer, what you want to develop for the Box platform, you will feel at home instantly, right? So we have down to the React hooks, for example, right? So we have, for data, we have use subscription, which is a subscription of to a data as it populates. It's a concept that React developers are very familiar with, right? And even for the design of protocols, that was our intuition, right? That there is a huge disconnect between Web2 world and Web3 world. And yeah, the reason for that disconnect is in Web2, you have client server, and in Web3, you have peers. And it just doesn't work the same way, right? So the first step in Web3 is find your other peers, right? In Web2, it's just, where's my server? So in the mesh network that we've created, we reintroduced that client-server architecture in Web3, right? We have client and we have server, right?
Yeah.
And then a network of these create that mesh. So you don't have a single server. You have a network of servers.
Yeah. I think the best analogy, when I was talking to Zach Cohen from Filebase around decentralized storage in general, the best analogy that we used for people that couldn't really make that jump between blockchain, Web3, and what was happening, if they thought about file sharing on peer-to-peer networks, you know, Napster, music sharing, that sort of stuff, it's effectively, that's what it is, but it's obviously been used for this particular purpose. And when we talk about like that, I think people that aren't too familiar with the blockchain will get a little bit confused or worried. That's basically what makes them go, ah, okay, I kind of understand what's happening now. And that hardware that you've got there, so it's built on Raspberry Pi technology. So just to explain, because obviously you've got this unit, it's modular, right? So you can buy it and you can fill each sort of, I guess it looks like a city tower, right? So yeah, let's explain the sort of design and what's inside it.
Yeah, so basically we made it modular so that we don't like dictate the hardware, even on the hardware side, we want it to be open source. So we want other hardware manufacturers or even a Raspberry Pi developer to be able to create a tower like according to their use case. Like someone might need a tower that doesn't exist. We wanted them to be able to create that use case on this box. So we created this form factor, that's what we call it, so that others can join in enhancing and improving it. And yes, it's modular, it has like 9 towers, like where users can extend the utility by putting more storage towers, CPU towers. We are in talk with other hardware manufacturers to extend the use case, like GPU towers, router towers. Like at some point, okay, just imagine that a Helium miner can go there as a tower and just be the router, you know, like.
Yeah, that's, yeah, okay. So this is like, the whole concept is just crazy to me, because I'm starting to, the more I talk to you guys, the more I'm understanding the possibilities of what can happen here. If you have one on your desk, the opportunities are endless, right? From a consumer point of view, but then if you're a developer as well, being able to develop in this new world from a shared, decentralized, you know, location, that's actually quite huge as well. So then talk about the fuller protocol, the token that you guys have, which is the utility token, like you guys said. That's what you guys are playing off against this payweb, right? The subscription-based web. this is how you're saying, develop on here, build your apps on here, and we'll basically, you know, mine the tokens along the way, which will cover your costs, not only for power, but also for consuming the service. If it's a photo app, you know, the cost of the storage, well, you're just going to use the token to basically supplement that. But explain it, like, you know, how, number one, this whole concept is still very hard for people to wrap their heads around if they're not in the crypto blockchain world. So maybe for those that aren't in the world, just explain it a little bit and then how it's going to work moving forward.
Yeah, so I mean, that also goes to your earlier question, Anthony, and how you're battling the not being labeled as a scam project. And that comes from the tokenomics, exactly the subject that we are touching on now.
Yeah.
And it's with the promise that we go out to the people with the Fuller network. So we promise you that you're not going to get rich quick on one night when you purchase a box. We
that's
promise.
Good. That's good. That's what you want. Yeah, that's stability. I like that. I like, you know, just a straight curve.
Yeah. So the tokens that you mine are essentially reserved for specific utilities that you get from the app, right? So with the tokens that you mine, you will be compensating open source developers creating apps for you, or you can rent out more storage from your neighbors, right? So the utility of token is essentially what we're aiming for in the long run, is that it represents digital good exchange in this P2P network, right? So I give you some app, you compensate me in tokens that you've mined. You're not paying out of pocket. You've mined these tokens, right? You create this beautiful YouTube video, right? And people will start watching it on the decentralized YouTube of the future. So instead of the middleman being YouTube, this time around, people who download your video essentially by watching it are paying you directly as the creator of this video. So that's the value that the token tries to capture. Digital goods without middleman, the distribution of them.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Ashan, did you have anything to like add to that as well?
I just wanted to add that, like, the idea here is like the BitTorrent of old days, but legalize it with the introduction of token, so that like the creators get paid, as Kevin said, without the middleman.
Yeah. It's funny because BitTorrent in Australia was always kind of legal as such. It was a very gray area here in Australia. We all still do it. It's quite crazy. I mean, allegedly, we all still do it, I mean.
Yeah.
So in terms of where you guys are at, I mean, the history obviously has gone pretty quickly. I mean, you went last year, you won a hackathon at the Filecoin hackathon. I guess that's a big thing. And I'm finding out in this world, my last couple of episodes ago, I had a company who won a Solana hackathon, right? And they've gone from strength to strength there. So these hackathons are just amazing places to breed this next generation of company on the blockchain. So was that always the case that you guys were going into that, looking to sort of create Function Land, or was it something else that you were going in with and it just happened to come out that way?
Actually, it wasn't like planned, that hackathon. It just came along the way. Like, it was one of the ways that we got introduced to, actually, by Protocol Labs, and we participated. Like the initial start of Function Land was exactly when Google announced that they are removing the free tier of Google Photos.
Yeah.
That was where we thought, okay, like, this application was supposed to be free, so now it doesn't, like, it's not acceptable. So we started developing that Photos application. We then, like, just matured the backend, like the box idea and everything that was in the back. And the hackathon, actually, we got introduced to the hackathon, we participated, we won the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was when we got into Outlier Ventures. We got the attention of Filecoin Foundation and Outlier Ventures, and we got into their acceleration program.
Right. So that led to the seed round, you're saying, basically, from that hackathon.
So it's really interesting, Anthony. It's not like we like had this grand vision of how to create this product. We're like, Esan and I were nerds, right? Developers developing code. it's very interesting how the Web3 ecosystem, the non-scammy one, has evolved to be, right? So as Aston said, we were like just fighting for a way to develop an open source application, essentially that Photos app, right?
Yeah.
Within this ecosystem, we found grants by protocol labs, right? That we can, just by creating a GitHub issue, get our open source project funded. That was new to us. It wasn't like that. We knew this, like 2 years down the road, we will be a company with this much seed funding, right? We were just these two nerds coding, and then we found a way to code for another month without starting, right?
That's this is why I never became a developer myself, you know. But maybe if I was growing up today a little bit younger, maybe I would be a developer, you know. But back in the day, it wasn't the choice I was willing to make. But yeah, but isn't that cool, right? That's cool because that's what I love hearing, and it's the epitome of you know, this is great things, it's great tech. You guys, you know, have seen a problem. You saw the Google Apps thing go, okay, well, they're going to charge for it now. We need to fix that. But now we're going to create our own technology on top of great technology and be even greater in terms of what we do. So I love that story. It's a great rise. So just to get into sort of how you want to grow the company, because obviously the biggest challenge when you can have the greatest idea, and sometimes the greatest ideas never win. And, you know, it's not the best product that always wins. There's all that kind of, you know, it's very famous in marketing and in product development world. But, you know, what has gotten you guys to this point where, you know, you've been noticed, you're running a pretty healthy campaign at the moment, you've got a crowdfunding campaign going on Indiegogo, which is kind of like a Kickstarter. We had this conversation earlier. That's kind of like the Kickstarter crowdfunding sort of site as well. How are you looking to grow interest in this product outside of the Web3 blockchain community, which is always a challenge in this world? So how are you going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, Indiegogo campaign was exactly that experiment, Anthony. So we had a challenge and we had a question we legitimately didn't know the answer to, right? That without us like being in a space that we are understood, like by fellow storage, people who are experts in storage, people who reciprocate our nerdiness, right? If we go to our to moms and pops, to mainstream, to teenagers, would they get this product? Would they understand how this works? And the crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo was exactly a test case for this. So if we create a cool marketing video, we like devise some description that's just generic. It doesn't talk to a technical audience. And we create this form factor, that's very important. That's designed for mainstream, right?
Yes.
It's plug and play. It's easy to interact with. Would it have an audience, a non-tech audience? And that was the question that the campaign was supposed to answer. And the answer has been a resounding yes. So yeah, with current campaign has seen enough traction to prove that it is possible.
Yeah, and I'll link to all those notes and those links and those pages in the show notes as well to show people exactly where it's at. But I think when I checked it last week, it was already pretty much oversubscribed, and it was crazy. You met your targets really early. Just on the design thing, though, I think that's a big part of it, right? So you actually partnered with an industrial designer to actually get that look and feel, which I think is very important because it just draws you in. Like I look at it now and I'm sorry, guys, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the boxes behind you, right? You know, which I think is what you want to be, is what you want, right? So, you know, what was the idea behind going out to an industrial designer, I mean, to do this?
As Kayvon said, we wanted this to be a mainstream product, not something that is just appealing to the tech people, but something that everyone likes it. So we created these partnerships with actually people who are specialized in bringing products to the mainstream market. And like our advisors, like Sean Neff, he introduced us to Yves Behar. And he really liked the idea, like the idea of decentralizing these like cloud services. And he actually worked on a similar thing. So we partner up and just we are like fine tuning the design of the box.
Yeah.
And that's actually what we have like in our plans, just to create these partnerships with Web2, with Web3, with like these companies that are already have settings and footings in the mainstream to just evolve into a mainstream product.
So here's a question as well. So for me, my interest in this isn't actually the blockchain side of it, which is interesting, right? Because I come to it from the point of view of Raspberry Pi technology, storage, plug and play modular from my background, right? And then if I can run some applications on this thing or work with it, then if it's here in front of me, that's pretty cool. How much of that crowdfunding do you think was me saying that versus people that think they're going to make money off the mining, you know? Like, what have you got any sort of concept of that, or is it just like, you know, what will be will be?
I mean, people will join from any perspective. We are very clear with the message that this is not going to make you rich. We state that it's going to pay for itself, because it will. I mean, with the cryptos that it mines, it pays for itself.
Yeah.
Like with the current simulations, we cannot give the estimates, but it's going to, like, in limited time, it's going to earn its place on your desk. But anyone joins from their own perspective. And I think that's the appeal of a mainstream product, right? And interesting, Anthony, we are, like us, Functionland, we are not blockchain experts ourselves. We are a protocol company, right?
So yeah, okay.
We are working with that IPFS side, with that LeapDB
yeah,
side.
Our
in-house team is protocol developers, right?
Yeah.
But for the blockchain aspect, it's just the transaction layer that allows this.
I understand.
Exchange.
And actually, I saw that, you know, when I did research on, you know, you've got some great documentation up there, you've got the Graph API example. People can actually run this up, do a Docker container and actually simulate it and, you know, and actually run up, you know, a bit of a test application as well. So it's out there as well. I will link to that in the show notes at the same time. So yeah, there's a lot of great stuff up there, which I think just makes it very tangible and exciting from a developer's perspective. But from my perspective, I'm not a developer, again, I'll tell you, but I like the facts. In my head, I go, I could use this as a backup target for some of my storage, right? As a storage for my backup target, right? I could plug this into my software to back up to, knowing that it's an easy interface that's being created, like that client, that peer-to-peer connection. But then also, once it actually sends the data to that box, I then know it's going to be secure. It's going to be on the blockchain, distributed, always available. If the box dies, I know that I can get it back. Like, there's that sort of side of it, which I think is a really exciting component of this. We've only got a couple minutes left, but one of the last question I want to ask about is about how you're looking to grow the community. Because again, you know, this is, you know, blockchain attached storage. It is got blockchain with it. So any project in blockchain needs a strong community to build up, right? And you guys have got your Telegrams and your socials and that sort of stuff. But what are you doing to kind of growth hack this thing from that perspective as well?
So a couple of things. First, we are developing a dev kit, which is just the PCBs of this box. We will be like introducing that dev kit to the hardware enthusiasts, like those
nice
people who are familiar with hardware, don't want the full box. They just want the PCBs to play with. So that's pretty cool
to gain their
attention. On the other side, through hackathons and grants, we will like introduce the ecosystem, the full ecosystem, to the developers, so that they develop applications, they start developing applications for the ecosystem. And when we believe when they see that it's sustainable, it pays them off, more developers join the community of developers. And for the mainstream, we are just fine-tuning our messages, basically. So with our advisors like Andy and Sean, we are fine-tuning our messages to really give the overview of what this is and what benefits it might give to different groups, right? So like, if you are a Web3 enthusiast, what benefits it bring to you? If you are a miner, if you are like a Google user.
Yeah. Do you have anything there for that?
Sure, yeah. I wanted to say that our obvious weapon is open source, right? So the community only forms around something that's completely open and accessible to everyone. So we've gone open source to everything, right? So with this form factor box from Indiegogo, it's not, you don't need to necessarily own it. If you can like just install it on any Linux. So you don't, as a tech person, you don't need to own a box to have a box. You can just install box server and your, so by open sourcing everything and creating a way for open source to be monetized, we're going and creating a DAO. Network has a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization behind it, where people would come in, like people like us will come and determine what the parameters of the network would be. That will give us the community, as it already has.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that as well. I've been in the Telegram for a while. So competitive landscape, is there any at the moment, or are you guys like doing something that's so radically different and innovative? Not that you want to talk about competitors, but I'm just saying, where do you sit in that point?
Yeah, I mean, we are the only currently, we hope, we actually embrace if someone else jumps on the blockchain attached storage space, right? But we've been the first company to introduce it to the world, right? So we don't have a product category that monetizes both sides, right? The creators, the content creators, and the content consumers, digital content consumers. So we don't have anything like that out in the world. We do have competitors that do either one of them. So
yeah,
they take care of the software themselves. They have closed source software, but they open up to consumers. So they have their own version, closed source version of Google Photos, and you are still locked into their offerings, right?
Yeah.
They even have the hardware, but they don't have the blockchain aspect, right? So the keyword here is blockchain attached storage as a new experiment that Functionland is the first one on taking, but embraces everyone joining the space.
Perfectly wrapped up. That's awesome. That's great. And you just kind of wrapped it up in one go. So I'm pretty happy with that. Right. Let's wrap it up. And again, this has been really informative. This has been great. I'm really excited about this project actually and where it goes. I'm glad that I've got you guys on the show because again, it's there's so much innovation here it's like a melting pot of different technologies coming together, right? So it kind of blows my brain a little bit, but I think it's going to be successful. And, you know, we'll put all the links in the show notes, as I said. Really looking forward to what you guys are doing with Functionland, and we will definitely keep an eye on it here. So just as a final reminder, just to wrap up, if you aren't subscribed or if you're new to the show and you would like to feature in future episodes, please, again, go to gtwgt.com. So thank you to the guys at Functionland. Thank you for having both of you on at the same time in a Great Things with Great Tech first. I think it worked. It was a good episode. And who knows, maybe from now on, I'll be able to get more than one person on. So thanks, guys, for that.
Cheers, Anthony. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
No worries.